I see Vicki and Fred. If you're 5 to 9, you're going to go with the coats today. Children's Church, 5 to 9. Children's Church is available right out these side doors right over here. I'm going to move this mic. It's going to get in my way. All right. Well, I know it's cold in here, so we can do, I guess, one of two things. I guess three things if you really want to go deep. I can preach on hell and try to make it hot in here. I don't know if we can do that. We can all get up and I can preach on Jericho and we can just walk around this building, exercise a little bit. Or we can start a blanket ministry, start knitting blankets, and that'll keep you from sleeping while I'm preaching. Man, they're not listening today. I'm in trouble. All right. They're already asleep. Praise the Lord for you. I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you didn't eat too much like I did. But I hope you're ready to go today, and we'll talk about that. I hope you have a copy of God's Word today as well. I've ordered 300 Bibles. I should have them in 2 weeks. And with these Bibles, we're going to get them, and we're going to mark them, and we're going to give them to our friends. And so look forward to that and be in prayer for that as they're on their way. It'll be neat. But I hope you have a copy of God's Word. If not, today, I'm also, because I'm really going to go deep into the Bible, I'm going to give them to you on the screen. But is there anybody here this morning that likes history? Do you like history? Oh, good. We're going to have fun today then. I believe that if you're going to know anything about anything, you have to look at history. And especially in the Bible and God's Word, if you know the history of the Bible and you do a hermeneutical study on it, if you want a big word, you can see the context of the Bible. Well, today I wanted to show you how God shows His glory, how God displays His glory. We sang several songs about God's glory today, and that's what I want to show you. How does God display His glory? And as we end 09 and we start 2010, that's really not the emphasis of the message, but I want to show you how we as a church and how people that are fully devoted believers of God, that would be a Christian, show God's glory. Now, in order to do that, I must take you through the Old Testament real quick to show you His glory and how God meant it for it to be. So I'm going to give you a quick history lesson, but it's very interesting. I think some of you will appreciate this because it's probably questions you've asked. You know, for instance, when did like Joseph come into the picture and Abraham and Moses and how does it all flow and how do we know who is when? And I'm just going to give you a brief history lesson this morning using God's Word about His glory. And so open your Bibles quickly, if you will, to Exodus chapter 6. And we're going to start right there, verses 5 through 9. Now, with God's glory, it's an amazing thing. See, God wants His glory to be shown through us today. God's glory, and we're going to get to the end of the sermon today, you're going to understand what this means. But God's glory has been promised, even back in the Old Testament, from Adam on, God's glory has been promised. And God has said, I want my glory to be shown. And today in this dispensation, which is the New Testament forward to us, this dispensation, God uses you and me, His believers, to show His glory. All right? So that's where we're going to go. If you go to Exodus 6, 5 through 9, the Bible says this. And I'm reading out of the ESV. And yeah, you guys have it as well up on the screen. I'm going to read it from my Bible this morning. The Bible says this. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians, it's easy for me to say, hold as slaves, and I remembered my covenant. Now, I want you to underline that as I wrestle with my glasses here. As I remember my covenant, he says. Give me a time out here. There we go. I want you to make a note. He's talking about the Abrahamic covenant. God gave Abraham a covenant. We're going to go to that in a minute in Genesis 12. But before we do that, let's read this next verse. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. We're going to read on in just a minute. But this is, if you will, the seven I wills. Write that down in your Bible or on your notes. Exodus chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, basically, give us a picture of the seven I wills. This is God telling me and you today. He's telling Israel then, here's what I will do. Not that I might do or that I can do, but what I will do. I'll write these down. But in the middle of that I will, he says, always remember history. Remember the Abrahamic covenant. Now, before I go there, I want you to turn to Exodus. Go left one page or two. Exodus 1, 5 through 7, I want to show you another. I'm building a case that you need to stay with me. The Bible says in Exodus 1, verse 5, all the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and they increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong so that the land was filled with them. History lesson, here we go. You remember that Joseph was sold by his brothers. His brothers were the sons of Jacob, which means Israel. He was sold into slavery, taken into Egypt, grew up there in Egypt, was thrown in prison, came out, had dreams and did all this stuff. And before you know it, he is like number one over all of Egypt. And with that, he has dreams of famine and prosperity. And he teaches the Egyptians how to build silos of grain so that during the 7 years of terrible times, he could feed the world. And during this, his brothers come there for food because they're starving and dying. They don't know it's him, but they come and he feeds them. And before it's all over, they realize it's him. And here's where we pick up Exodus. So it's saying that it started off with 70 people. And the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. Joseph was already there. It started with 70. Now, stay with me, please, this morning. Go to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I think you might have this on the board as well, but I want you to look in your Bible if you have it. Genesis 12, this is the Abrahamic covenant. We're building a case here so that we all understand this. 12, 1 through 3 says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred, this is his people, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you, promise number one, a great nation. I will bless you, promise number two, and make your name great. Promise number three, so that you will be a blessing to all other nations. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and all the families of the earth, that's part of promise number three, shall be blessed. So we have this promise that they're going to be blessed nation and a blessed people, and they're going to have their own land, and they're going to bless all these people. I want to give you the five things, the way I break it down when I study the five promises of the Abrahamic covenant. Bless you, protect you, give you descendants, give you land, and bless all other nations through you. That's the five. I might have said three. It's five. It's 12, 1 through 3 with five promises. So up to the point of where we're at today in Exodus, we see that God has blessed them. God has protected them, kept them together as a nation in Egypt, and he's given them descendants. It went from 70 to, when they leave in the exile, 2.5 million people. So three out of the five promises we know have been done, but we know that number four, their land, they have not been given to. And we also know that all nations of the world have not been blessed through them up to this point in Exodus 6, 5 through 9 that we see. So God reiterates and he says, remember my covenant. And then he says again, the seven I wills. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Seven times. God displays his glory. And I want to show you today through me and you. Write down number one, God displays his glory by delivering a deliverer. God displays his glory by delivering a deliverer. God displays his glory by delivering a deliverer. In this case that we're at today at Exodus, it's a baby. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we just celebrate a baby's birthday a couple days ago? Jesus, that's right. Well, in this case, he gives Moses a baby, not a king, not a president, not a government, not an army. He gives Moses. And he tells Moses all these things, and we know that Moses means to be drawn out. Did you guys know that? In Hebrew, it means to be drawn out. He was drawn out of the water. He drew his people out of Egypt in the exile. God displays his glory by delivering a deliverer. God displays his glory by Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us today. We don't have Moses, we have Jesus, which is better. God displays that for us. Stay with me. God also displays his glory with a proclamation of salvation. God displays his glory with a proclamation of salvation right there on your board. I want to quickly break down the seven I wills. Still in the history lesson, and then I'm going to preach to you just for a few minutes. By the way, I got a watch for Christmas. Look at this. It lights up and everything. And you know what that means to a preacher? Nothing. That's right. Amen. Got you guys with me. All right. Man, this is cool. First time I've had a watch. All right. God displays His glory with a proclamation of salvation. As you go through the seven I wills, let's pick it up in verse 7 of chapter 6 of Exodus. It says, "And I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for your possession." He says, "I am the Lord." I want you to underline verse 9 in your Bible, because this is what we're going to preach on today. Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and their harsh slavery. Let me say that again, the last few words. They did not listen because of their broken spirit. In Hebrew, that would mean short spirit, which is the opposite of long. Their short spirit and harsh slavery. This past week, we had a friend come into town from Montana. He used to be a member of this church, and he was a great, great family in our church. And they moved to Montana 2.5 years ago. Well, this week he called and said, "Billy, I'm going to be in town. Can we hang out a day and do lunch and have, you know, catch up?" And I said, "Absolutely." So I picked him up. Actually, he flew in right here to the new Gateway Airport, which is close. And he came over to the house, and we went and ate, and we were talking. We were driving around the neighborhood, and he still has a house here that he rents out, and he's checking on that. But as we met and talked, he looked at me and he said, "Hey, Billy, I want to ask you something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "How come everybody around here seems to be," and I'm quoting him, "seems to be on life support?" I go, "What do you mean?" His name's Gary. I said, "Gary, what do you mean?" He goes, "Billy, I went and checked my rental, and the renters, you know, they're behind a month, and they didn't smile." And he said they were just in an awful mood. And he said they were just down, and they were just sad. And he said, "I couldn't wait to get away from them." He said, "Then when I left my neighborhood," he said, "every other house was for sale, and there was weeds growing up." He said, 2.5 years ago, this was a thriving, brand new house. And he said, "Now it's just a wreck out there." And he said, "Billy, everybody seems to be on life support." And then he said, I left the neighborhood, and he said, "I went over to the store to get a coat or something." He'd forgotten. He was only here a day. And he went to the store, and he said he walked through Walmart, and even Walmart was on life support, he said. Said the greeter was like, "Hey, what's up? You know, hey, you know," instead of all happy. He said, "Everybody's on life support here." He goes, "What's going on?" And it was so funny how God works, because I had just studied what Moses said. Moses said, "You know what? God's going to do this." He said, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will," 7 times. But they did not listen because of their broken spirit and their harsh slavery. They did not listen because the consequences of what was going on in their life at the time had brought them down. Now, I want to show you something. We're going deep. I want you to stay with me. I want you to go to Hebrews 10, because I got to make my point here. Yeah, I want you all to listen today. This is going to get good. We're going to get warm, and we're going to go. But listen, Hebrews 10, 5 and 7. I want to show you this. This blew me away. The Bible says in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews writing to us today in the New Testament, looking back at Old Testament scriptures, said these words. "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said." Now we're talking about, remember, God shows his glory through a baby, through Moses, and through Jesus, Emmanuel. The writer of Hebrews says that consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said this, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired." God does not want our sacrifices and our offerings. He wants our obedience. Then he says, "But a body you have prepared for me." He wants us as fully devoted believers to show people God's glory. Are you with me? He wants us to show people God's glory. Then he says, "In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." God says, "I don't want burnt offerings and sin offerings. I don't want you to go through the motions. I want you to show my glory through what you do, by how you act, by how you love other people." Then I said, verse 7, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written in the scroll of the book." He's looking back at Exodus chapter 6. Jesus Christ came to prepare the way for us. Jesus Christ came today to show us that he is the fulfillment of God's will. Now, I broke down the seven I wills, and I want to do this quickly. I think I messed Carrie up back there. Carrie works hard, by the way, trying to stay up with me, because I go all over when I give him my notes. But I want to give you 4 quick things I want you to look at, what God said he would do and what Jesus has done. Number one, if you take the first 2 I wills, they equal liberation. Remember, he says, "I'll take you, I'll get you out of slavery." He's going to liberate us. The second thing is, oh good, they are up there, is redemption. He says, once I liberate you, once I free you, I will redeem you. He says, I will be your redeemer in verse 6. Then the fourth and fifth promise, or I will, is adoption. Adoption. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And once you're adopted, listen, it leads to the last thing, which is possession, the sixth and seventh promise. God says, I will be yours and you will be mine. I will possess you. Once you're adopted, you can never be unpossessed. You are always the possession of that people. And Jesus says in Hebrews 10, 5 and 7, I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do the I wills. To liberate you, to redeem you, to adopt you, and then to possess you. So God is telling us here, He will liberate us from our bondage that we're in. God tells us that He will redeem us and take our sin if we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, Romans 3:23. And because we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, Romans 6:23 says we are all going to die because the wages of sin is death. But then it goes on to say He redeems us. He says, but I have come to give you life and give it abundantly. John 1:12 says, as many as receive me, to them they have the right to be called or adopted and redeemed sons of God. Do you see this? And so from the adoption goes the possession. And God says, when I enter into your life, when you receive me, I will possess you for eternity, forever. So that's why Jesus came. So let's go back to my story of history. And I'm going to end this with history, and then I'm going to preach for just a couple minutes. I want you to go back to Exodus 6:9, which we've been talking about. How did the Hebrew nation respond to all these great promises of liberation and redemption, adoption and possession? Wouldn't you be excited if God would show up right now and tell you guys, listen, I'm going to liberate you from your slavery. You know, you're in Egypt and you're in bondage, but I promise I'm going to get you out of there. And then I'm going to take you out of there. And not only am I going to liberate you from what you're doing right now, I'm going to redeem you. Everything you've done wrong is going to go away. I'm going to wipe your slate clean and you're going to be free to live for Christ. And then he says, and once I liberate you and redeem you, I'm going to adopt you. You're going to be mine. Wouldn't it be cool to say, hey, God, Jesus is my daddy? Well, if you're saved, He is. He's adopted you. And then He says, I'm going to possess you. You're going to be mine. You're going to be my possession. That's pretty cool. But how did the Hebrews respond? They did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. They did not listen to the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas because of their circumstances they were living in 2009. They did not listen to the promises of God because of all the burden that they were carrying, the Bible. The Bible tells us, see, history repeats itself. And today we're on life support, Gary said. Today we walk around and Christians are on life support. Christians don't know what tomorrow brings, and I understand that. I understand what it's like to be out of patience and to have no hope and to be hurting. But the Bible tells us today that we have a choice to make. Because God has promised and said, I will. I will. And today, as I preach this, I want to go to 1 Samuel 4. And I want you to see this. If you're in Exodus, just turn right just a little bit. I want you to see this today. I want you to be free when you leave here today. Freer than you were when you came this morning. Go to 1 Samuel 4. 19 and 20 and 21. Because as I read this, I got to thinking about biblical history, which I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament. I love the whole Bible. But I got to thinking, Lord, has there ever been a time like it is right now in 09? See, I'm going to be honest with you. For me and Lisa, this has been probably the worst year of valleys that we've ever gone through together. Now you ask, hey, Billy, Pastor, what's up? It's none of y'all's business. I'm just telling you, we have carried some heavy stuff this year. I've probably lost weight and tears this year more than I ever have in any other year that I've ever been alive, and I'm 46 years old. It's been rough, people, and I know it's been rough on y'all. But as I sat down and I said, God, you know, I look at the history and I know that you will. But Lord, why, if I'm walking with you and I hear from you and I have the vision of what you want us to do at this church, why even me? And God said, well, just all the more. Because the devil will never attack somebody in retreat, but those who advance, he is going to attack. And I'm telling you what, we need to hear these words today. 1 Samuel 4, 19 through 21. Incredible. The Bible says, now his daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant. And she was about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed and gave birth and her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman attended her and said to her, do not be afraid, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer or pay attention. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God has been captured and because her father-in-law and her husband were dead. Everybody right now say Ichabod. Ichabod. Don't name your kid Ichabod or Judas. Please. Now, Abod means glory. But the ick in front of it means God has departed. No glory. How does God show his glory? Well, not through Ichabod. Ichabod means God has departed. No glory. The glory has departed. Now go to Matthew 1:23. See, I've been studying about little Jesus. I point at him. I don't worship that doll right there. That's an emphasis of illustration. But I want you to see Jesus now in Matthew 1:23. It's in the first gospel there. This is so incredible. I don't know. It's just good. I know a lot of you are here because you heard Christmas Eve, and I said you had to be here, and I'm glad you are. Because this is good. Hold on with me. Now we have another picture of another lady getting ready to give birth to a baby. And believe it or not, I think Mary's circumstances were pretty bad. I think she walked in. See, her and Joseph, I want to give you a quick history, today's history. Her and Joseph were betrothed, engaged. They got the ring and said, we're engaged. And then for 3 months, Mary went away. That's how they did it back then. So for 3 months, Joseph couldn't see her. And then after 3 months, she showed up and she kind of looked like this. And she said, Joseph, I need to talk to you. And he's like, I think, yeah. And then she said, an angel met me. And he said, I think it was a devil. That's supposed to be funny, but I guess you. She said, an angel came upon me. And I'm sure Joseph thought, I bet that guy's a devil. Where's he at? And she said, no, Joseph, this is God. And I'm sure Joseph was like, are you kidding me? Can you imagine? But we have a story here of 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Ichabod, God has departed. Emmanuel, God is with us. Today, people, let's draw a line in our Christian walk. Today, we need to quit waking up and going, oh, it's going to be an Ichabod day. Where's the life support? Let's go to Walmart, you know. What would happen if Heart Cry got up and said, Emmanuel, God is with us? What would happen to our community? See, because of time and circumstances and many other things in her life, she is discouraged, and she says, glory, hope, joy, good things will never be here again because of her present situation. Listen to me. Here's the key of the day. Here I'm preaching. Never name your future by your present circumstance. Never name your future by your present circumstance. Oh, Heart Cry will never be a great church on their land because, man, we don't got no money and no people and no guts and no glory. No, I'm saying Emmanuel, God is with us. And just like in Mary, I think God is fixing to birth something great through this church. Because this church is going to learn to wake up and roll out of bed and say, I know that it ain't great today, and I know that the stock market's down. I know that the political polls are down. I know that if I turn on the news, it's Ichabod, 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 Ichabod. But Emmanuel, God is with me. That's my prayer for y'all. That's my prayer for me. See, this week is rough. This year was bad. There's been many times where I didn't want to come to church on Sunday. You know, what's the old joke go where the guy looks at his wife and says, honey, I don't want to go to church today. And she says, no, you got to go. And he says, no, the people are cold and, you know, it's no good there and it's mean and the people are bad. And she says, well, honey, you got to go. And he says, no, I just really don't want to go, you know. And she says, but honey, you have to. You're the preacher. I've been there this year. Not that y'all are cold. It's just cold in here. I'm telling you, I'm getting hot though. Whew. You get up here and the lights are bright. Never name your future by your present circumstance. Things are going to get better. Listen to me. The sun will shine again. Y'all still aren't believing me, so we're going to keep preaching. See, Jesus means Emmanuel, God with us. Today, we are going to have to choose which attitude we take in our life. Oh, everything's bad. Everything's wrong. Oh, me. Oh, my. What did we sing a minute ago, Michelle? Something about makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Even in a Baptist church. Hallelujah. God is with us. Emmanuel Spirit. What spirit have you taken on in your life today? Are you an Ichabod? Or are you an Emmanuel? I expect Ichabod out of the people that are lost, don't you? But listen to me. Everybody look up here. Christians, really? Can we have the Ichabod Spirit? Is it like the glory has departed? Now, I understand. Let me give you. I know that the glory has departed from our nation. I know that. I know that the glory has departed out of Wall Street. I know that. I have a 401. They ought to name it 401, not K, but 401 negative or something. It's gone. I know that our economy, the glory has left. I know that the political polls, the glory has left. I know in our educational system, the glory seems to have departed from everything we do and see. Even in the church, people, hear me today. We're lukewarm. We're dead. We start sharp at 10:30 and end dull at 11:30. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Ichabod. Ichabod. Oh, Ichabod. Ichabod. But something in me is screaming, Emmanuel. 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 Some of you guys that are married, you know, you'll get this. Your marriage started out ideal. Man, look at her, look at him. This is ideal. And a couple months went by and it became an ordeal. And then a couple years went by and it became a raw deal. And then another month went by and you want a new deal. Ichabod on your marriages, right? We need to throw some Emmanuel so that the God's glory and the power will be demonstrated through God's true church of His witness in our life. Our marriages should be Emmanuel, not Ichabod. Listen to me, Emmanuel, I got all kinds of time, is mightier than Ichabod. I'm almost done. I know many of us are going through issues today. Real issues. Listen to me. This has been a tough year. I know that. I've shared my personal life with you. But if God is with you, Pastor, if God is with you, why are you even having a hard year? Because life happens. Amen? Life happens. That's life. Welcome to life. Welcome to life. I want to talk about Mary and Joseph real quick. Because in a time of trial for Mary and Joseph, God was birthing something that was great, and that was Christ. And listen, I want to tell you something right now. I know it's tough, but my heart says this. And as this church looks at the signs of the times, listen to me. Something inside of me says that we're about to see something holy. Something so holy like we've never seen before. This is now the time, or this is not the time to take an Ichabod spirit at this place. God is fixing to do great things through us because He's done something great in us. Now, do I have anybody? I know I do. I've got some pastors and I've got some deep. If you're a deep theological thinker, I need to see your hand right now. There's more of you than that. You guys are chickens. We're going to go deeper than you've ever been before. Are you ready? Say yeah. Okay, here we go. This is deep theological thinking. If you don't get this, you saw the guys that raised their hands. Chicken Little. You ever read the story Chicken Little? The sky is falling. See, Chicken Little was pecking around one day in the pen. That's my best pecking move. And an acorn fell and hit it on the head. And Chicken Little looked up and said, An acorn hit me on the head. The sky is falling. And he runs over to Turkey Lurkey and he says, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. And Turkey Lurkey runs over to Ugly Duckly and says, the sky is falling. And Ugly Duckly runs over to Foxy Loxy and says, oh, the sky is falling. And Foxy Loxy runs over to Goosey Lucy. I had to read this whole thing the other day to get all these. Runs over to Goosey Lucy and says, the sky is falling. And Goosey Lucy runs over to Buck Cluck, which is Chicken's little dad, and says, the sky is falling. And before you know it, the whole barn is in an uproar over one acorn. Barnes & Noble has it, if you want to get it. We went Christmas shopping, and I buy a ugly, or whatever that thing is, at Barnes & Noble. Friend, I know that one acorn may have hit you. I know. And it may hit you right square on the head, but listen to me. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is with us. Listen, I just want to tell you today. That sounded preachery. I just wanted to tell you today that Emmanuel is greater than Ichabod. And if tomorrow you wake up with the gloom and doom, scream it out, Emmanuel. Unto us a Savior is born. Unto us that need to be saved. I end with this. What do we need to be saved from? I'm just going to get right down and honest with you. We need to be saved from a lake of fire. We need to be saved from sin. See, Jesus' birth is really not the real Christmas. But we ought to celebrate Christmas because of Jesus' resurrection, because He's our Savior. See, we all have sinned, and sin is what destroys our family and our marriages. Sin is what fills our prisons and our jails. Sin is what addicts us and enslaves us. Sin that devastates lives. Sin is a horrible thing, but Emmanuel, God with us, will save us from that sin. Listen to me. The good days are not gone. The sun will shine again. How do I know? Because God is with us. God is with us. And one day, He won't only be our Savior, He'll be our judge. One day, we'll have to stand before God and say, God will say, what'd you do with my son, which is Jesus? Well, I believed in God. God seemed like a good thing, so I believed in Him. What'd you do with my son, God's going to say? Well, nothing. Depart from me. I never knew you. And at the great white throne of judgment, those who have not chosen Jesus will be thrown into the lake of fire forever. Sin. But those who say, God, I took Jesus. Emmanuel was with me. And I loved people and I helped people and I fed the poor. I loved the unlovable. I prayed and I gave and I sought Jesus. Come with me to the golden palaces and the streets of gold. See, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I made a little note to myself here. I'm going to share this with you. There's many times where I've looked at my wife, Lisa, and said, Lisa, let's limp through this. And she knows. Let's take these bruises and these batters and let's limp through. We'll make it. Let's just keep going. But this week, I'll tell you what, I decided Emmanuel. No way. I'm not going to limp through anything. Emmanuel. And I close with this statement. Even trouble is better with Jesus. Even your troubles is better to go through with Jesus. Do you know that you know that you know today that if you died, you'd spend your life in eternity with heaven, with Jesus? Or have you not called upon His name and the lake of fire awaits you? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we love You. Father, we thank You for being Emmanuel, God with us. Father, my prayer for this church today is that we would recognize God is with us individually, as a congregation. Father, in our lives with our families, God with us. Father, I pray that the Ichabod spirit would go away and that we would no longer be negative with our families, with our church, with our people, with our work. But even through our troubles, we would say, God is with us. Father, help us to lift our heads high today and start this new year that we're about to embrace with the spirit of Emmanuel. Father, I pray that the world that is watching us would see a powerful demonstration of God's love exemplified through us, the true church, the true Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, Father, I pray for those today. I know many are sick. Half my staff's gone. I'm the only one here on staff, I think. Sick, and people are on vacation. But Lord, those within the shout of my voice today, I pray for that Emmanuel spirit. Emmanuel. Father, I pray that if someone's here today that needs to make a decision to choose you, they just realize for the first time in their life that they're headed to the lake of fire if they should die. Pray that they'll get that right. It's real simple. Come up and pray. A simple prayer that goes something like this. Father, I know I'm a sinner. Father, I need Jesus in my life. And I receive Jesus today into my life. And I receive Jesus to be a partner with Him and surrender all to Him in Jesus' name. That's all you have to say. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, call upon His name and you shall be saved. Father, I also pray that someone's here today that's struggling and the Ichabod spirit has come over upon their life and their family. Father, I pray today they'd come up and pray on the altar or pray with me, one of the deacons, and pray that that Ichabod spirit would leave and that Emmanuel would take that place. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we give all the glory. Amen. Will you stand with me?